It's the Large Morning Show in the afternoon vacation edition here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris filling in for Frank while he and Ian and Dan and 100 or so of our listeners are off on a vacation in Jamaica. Tim and Josh are here in the studio with me. And my friend Phil Plate is on the phone. Phil is an astronomer and a columnist for Slate.com. And I've asked him to join us here this afternoon, as he's done many, many times in the last decade or so, to explain something related to space that I don't understand. A story that came out this week that there could be a ninth planet out there. Now, we just downgraded Pluto about a decade ago from planet to dwarf planet, and so now we're for the last 10 years we've been hearing there are only 8 planets in our solar system, but apparently now there might be a ninth. So here's Phil. Hi, how are you today?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on again. It's been a little while.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. So, before we get into the details of what this planet is, I'm amazed. Years ago, you worked on the Hubble telescope, right?
Yes.
The Hubble Space Telescope can see not just things in our solar system and things in our galaxy, but out beyond that, into the universe, nebulae and clouds of stars and planets hundreds of light years away, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. How could it miss a planet around the corner?
Well, for one thing, we don't know this planet exists. So if it's not there, you can't find it. I'll throw that out there right away. But also, Hubble is not a survey instrument. And by that I mean it looks at a little dinky, tiny, teeny piece of the sky. And each time it takes a picture, it's looking at something that's roughly the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length.
Wow.
So it's very tiny, typically. And so if there's something you're looking for in the sky and you don't know where it is, you'd have to take literally millions or even billions of pictures before you could find it.
Okay.
But the thing is, there are ground-based telescopes on Earth that do this. They take surveys of the sky and sweep around and basically have mapped the entire sky. What we know is that if this planet's out there, it must be fainter than what these telescopes can see. And from the numbers, that's pretty much what it looks like.
Are you surprised that there could be something we haven't discovered that is relatively close to Earth compared to the rest of the universe?
Actually, not at all. In fact, when I was working on Hubble, we were looking at stars out in space that were very young and had planets forming around them. And we saw planets forming much farther out from the host star than the planets here are orbiting the sun, so much farther out even than Neptune. And a colleague of mine and I wondered if there could be a planet in the solar system really far out. The problem was, at that time, the technology wasn't quite good enough to find it, and all of the surveys would have to change all their software to look at an object like this, and nobody wanted to do it. So, this kind of thing has been predicted for a while, or at least, I should say, anticipated. And there have been some ideas that there could be another planet out there. But what's been revealed this week is the best evidence for it so far.
Okay, so give me the lowdown on what we're talking about.
Okay, so, haven't seen it. We don't know if it exists. There are no pictures of this. However, if you were to go out on a lake and see an expanding wake, you could probably assume that there was a boat that just passed by a minute or two ago. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. There are icy chunks out past Neptune. Some of them are hundreds of miles across. And they're on elliptical, stretched-out orbits. And you'd expect those orbits to be pointing in basically every direction. But when you look at some of these, they appear to be lined up as if they're all sort of facing the same way, the long axis of the orbit. They all point the same direction. And that's not what you expect. And one way to explain this is that there is a massive planet, 10 times the mass of the Earth, that's orbiting the sun much, much, much farther out than Neptune, and it's interacted with these objects, and its gravity has basically lined up the orbits of these objects. Now, it's not 100% sure. There are other things that can do this, but this seems like the most likely explanation.
So where are we talking about? Is this, among the dwarf planets of like a Pluto, or is it in the Kuiper Belt, or what are we talking about here?
It's pretty far out into the Kuiper Belt. That's the region outside Neptune's orbit where a lot of these icy chunks orbit the sun. This thing doesn't really get much closer to the sun than about, 5 times or more Neptune's distance. So it's really far out there, and it may get as much as 50 billion kilometers out from the sun, a tremendously long distance.
Is that further than Pluto was or is?
Yes. Oh, much further. Five, 10 times that, something like that in
okay.
that area.
Okay.
And so this thing takes thousands and thousands of years to orbit the sun, if it exists again. And it's so far away that even though it could be big, it's so faint, it's just escaped our notice.
All right. When I was growing up, we had 9 planets because Pluto was still in there. And we were always taught that Pluto and its orbit around the Earth were essentially the outside limits of what we called our solar system. Does this thing that's 5 times that distance away still count as being part of our solar system?
Yes, it does. And it depends on what you think of when you think solar system. Most people think of the major planets out to Neptune. But that's not fair, because these icy chunks in the Kuiper Belt and even farther out in what's called the Oort Cloud, these are really far away, maybe hundreds of billions of miles out. And they orbit the sun. They're part of the solar system, too, even though to them, Neptune is really close to the sun. They're so far out. So the solar system extends for a long way. Neptune and Pluto are still relatively close to the sun compared to these more distant objects.
Is it possible that we never noticed this before because it's so far away from the sun that there's barely any light getting there?
Well, yeah, that's basically it. It's so far from... Now, remember, again, if this planet exists, we don't have proof, we don't know, but if it exists, it's so far from the sun that the sun would be much fainter than it looks like from Earth. So it's not illuminating this planet very well, and then that light has to get reflected back to us, so it gets even fainter. And by the time you do this, this object is barely visible, even in decent telescopes, except when it's in its part of its orbit, when it's closest to the sun. Then it's bright enough that, smaller telescopes could see it. The fact that they haven't, that nobody has detected this thing, means either it doesn't exist, or if it does exist, it's farther away.
Okay, so we've got some astronomers who have discovered something that may or may not be a discovery because it may or may not actually be there. And they have this hypothesis, which you go along with, and then we have to prove it, right? You're a scientist. You know there's got to be proof involved. So how do you prove whether this thing actually exists?
There is an easy way, and that's find it. And I say it's easy, but of course it's really hard. This thing is faint. Mike Brown, who is one of the two astronomers, has written about this, and he basically predicted where it might be in the sky. So there are ways of looking for this thing, but it's still a pretty big sky, and it's crowded with stars when you're looking that faint. So it's going to be tough to find. That could prove its existence if you find it. Of course, we could find something else that's on a different orbit that doesn't explain the orbits of these other objects, and that means they may be wrong. And also, a planet this size out that far will have other effects on some of these icy bodies as well. If we discover some of these icy bodies that don't behave as if there's a planet there, then that's kind of proof against it. But in the end, I think it's all going to be very tentative and very just conservative to say we don't know if this thing exists until we actually see it, so we actually have images of it moving against the background of stars.
I read your piece on Slate about this, and I love the irony of this guy, Mike Brown, the astronomer who's part of the team that that discovered that this planet may exist. The irony is that he was part of the team that led to the demotion of Pluto to not full planet, but dwarf planet status. And so now he may be one of the people who said, no, that's not a planet. Oh, by the way, we have another one you should look at.
That's right. I do like the irony of this as well. Mike's at Caltech. He worked with Konstantin Batygin. They're the two people who have theorized this planet may exist. But a few years ago, Mike's team found this object called Eris, which is a body that is roughly the size of Pluto, very far out in the solar system. And that's what basically started this whole thing of demoting Pluto to a dwarf planet. I think that whole thing is ridiculous. It's hard to define what a planet is. And so arguing over whether Pluto's a planet or not doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But the fact that kick-started this whole discussion, basically, and then for him to come around a few years later and say, yeah, we have evidence of an actual planet out there, and it's far larger, it's bigger than the Earth, if it exists, That's I like that, too. It makes me smile.
Is he going around saying, by the way, we're calling this planet Mike Brown?
No, who gets, I don't think he gets to do that.
Who gets to name it?
They're calling it Planet 9 for now, which is clearly a tweak towards the people who want Pluto to be a planet. But if it gets a name, it'll have to be named by, you know, after it's discovered, after a certain amount of time, it'll be named by the International Astronomical Union. There are plenty of names they could give it. I kind of like Persephone. That's always been my choice for a planet past Pluto. That's the character in Greek mythology who was wooed by Pluto, the king of the underworld, and had to stay with him after she ate pomegranate seeds. It's a great myth. You should look it up if you're listening to this. And I think it would be an apt name for a planet out there.
Oh, wait a second. I just had a great idea, Phil.
I'm listening.
You know how space programs worldwide are always having budget problems, particularly in this country where NASA's budget has been attacked and cut and all the rest. And I'm sure the European Space Agency and the Chinese Space Agency and the Indian Space Agency, they're all having the same problem. Here's my idea. We've discovered a new planet, and it doesn't have a name yet, so we're going to have a global lottery, and the winner gets to name it whatever they want. On one condition, it can't be a corporate sponsorship name. It has to be a person. Can you imagine, of the billions of people on this planet, how many people would cough up $10 to have a chance to name it after their grandchild or their daughter or whoever that is? This is a great way to raise billions and billions of dollars for space exploration, Phil.
I would agree with you, but knowing the internet, somebody would write a little snippet of code and they would spend millions of dollars just to submit over and over and over again so that they could win, and then we'd have a planet. They would have something awful, like, you know, clown fart would be the name of it or something like that. I'd almost rather that it were, you know, Microsoft's ninth planet than something like that.
Yeah, the planet troll.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, I appreciate the information. It's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Phil Plait is the bad astronomer because he notes other people's bad astronomy in his work and has written books like Death from the Skies and his regular Slate column, which is terrific to read as well. Phil Plait here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.